In the fifth reading of Parshas Veschanan, after having recapitulated Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 special mitzvahs that Hashem gave us at Mount Sinai, we kind of do a post-mortem, a follow-up. So the Torah says, "Es hadvarim ha'ela." Moshe Rabbeinu now speaking to the Jewish people about the events that happened at Mount Sinai. It was these very words, "Diber Hashem el kol kahalchem." The Lord God spoke to your entire congregation, Bahor in the mountain. Now, this voice of Sinai, or voice of God, which is going to represent the Sinai paradox, was a voice that was mitoicha esh, from amidst the fire, ha'anan, the cloud, ha'arafal, the darkness. It was a koil godol. Moshe Rabbeinu describes it as a great voice. A great voice, v'lo yosef, a great voice that did not continue, or did not, in a sense, becomes interrupted. We'll soon see what that means. Vayichtevein, and after God spoke to us, he then wrote, al shnei luchos avonim, he wrote on two tablets of stone, vayitneim Eloi, and he gave them for me. Really, in a sense, verse 19 encapsulates the essence of the Sinai experience. God spoke to us, was a great voice, and then the words were inscribed on tablets which were given to Moshe. So let's talk about this verse. Let's talk about this recap of what happened at Mount Sinai. It says, "Es hadvarim ha'ela," these things God spoke to all of us at the mountain, mitoicha esh, from the fire, and we say also ha'anon, also the cloud, and also v'harofa. So Ramban says, which one was it? Did he speak from the fire? Did he speak from the cloud? Or did he speak from the thick darkness? So Ramban says, the fire was the source of the voice. You have to read the pasuk like this. Diber Hashem mitoicha esh. The voice of God projected from the fire. Ha'onan v'harofa. The cloud and the darkness, Rambam says, Sevivo was around it. So the voice of God projected from the fire, and it was framed by clouds, framed by darkness. Voice of God, straight from the fire, framed by clouds. That's how the Rambam puts it. Alshach says that the voice of God actually went through a triple filter. So the fire was at the center of the mountain. Around this, there was clouds, and then that was surrounded afterwards in more darkness. And the Alshach says that the voice of Hashem went through three masachim, three screens, screen voice. And then he says, after going through three processes of screening, his arev bekeilish shel Moshe, then it mixed with the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was heard b'chol ha'machne. You know, when I was learning this Alshach, I thought of sometimes you see these videos of people recording their voices. You know, like recording artists. And they always have, like, you see a mic, and there's like a screen in front. I'm not sure what the screen does. It looks really good. Like it somehow screens the voice. I don't know, it's an enhancer?
It's a filter.
It's a filter? Yeah. That's what he says. There's like a filter over here. There was like, the voice was filtered. So there was a triplicate filter, and then the voice of Hashem melded with the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I suppose the Jewish people heard this unusual voice, this unusual sound, which was a mixture of Moshe Rabbeinu's voice and a triple screened or triple filtered voice of God, whatever that means.
Why would that be necessary?
Why would that be necessary? Ah, very good. So this really dovetails to the Hasidic concept of Tzimtzum, the mystical concept of Tzimtzum, where if the light is too bright, what happens? It becomes blinding. If the voice would have been the pure, unadulterated voice of God, it would have been overwhelming for us. We would not have been able to listen at all. And as it were, it was already too powerful for us. Because you see in the very next verse, so what's the follow-up? What happens after verse 19? Let's take a sneak peek into the next verse. Verse 20, Vayi kishomachem esakol, when you heard this voice, mitecha cheshech, from amidst the darkness, which seems to lend itself to the interpretation of Alshach rather than Amban, unless you say mitech means from, framed by, surrounded by the darkness. So he says, v'ha'har boyer ba'esh, and the entire mountain is smoking in fire, v'tikrivon Elias, kol rashi shiftechem, all your leaders came to me, v'ziknechem, your elders, Vatemru, they said, Hey, Neiranu Hashem Elokeinu Eskavei, that God has showed us His glory, His godly, His greatness. That's Kodesh Shemayinu, we heard His voice, Mitecha Eish from the fire. Hayayim Azereinu, today we saw, Ki Yedaber Elokim Esa Adam V'chai, God can speak to humanity, and we can still be alive. But you know what? Va'ata Lama Nomos, now why should we die? Please. Ki Sechleinu Ha'esh HaGedel HaZeh, says, great fire is consuming us. Im Yesvim Anachnu L'Shmei Eskel Hashem, if we will hear the voice of God anymore, Oid v'masnu, we're going to die. This is too much for us. Ki chol basar ha-shashama kol elokim, any flesh that hears the voice of God, medaber, metecha esh, kameinu v'yechi, can anybody hear the sound and live? So what did they want? No more Har Sinai? They said, kravato, you go close. Ushma es kol asher yemer Hashem eleinu, you listen to everything God's telling us. You listen for us. Va'at tadaber eleinu, then to speak to us. It's kol asher yadaber Hashem elekecha, elecha v'shamayinu v'asinu. It's okay. We can't handle this anymore. Let Him speak to you. We'll eavesdrop a listen in, and then you'll tell us what He said. In other words, it was too intense. And actually, the Medrash says that the Jewish people, hearing the voice of God, in the first two Dibris, they expired. Body and soul separated. It says they ran 12 kilometers away. And Malachim had to come back and bring them back to Mount Sinai. Then they ran away again, and if the next Dibir. Another Medrash says they died on the spot, and they all had to be resurrected. And then they God spoke to them again, and again everybody died in the spot. And apparently dying is not so much fun. And then coming back to life is not so simple. And instead, after doing two not near death, but two death experiences and resurrection, they said, okay, Moses, enough. We had it. Now, apparently this is not meant for all of us. We got the message. Let Him speak to you. It's too much, too intense. You'll tell us what He said. So you understand that there was a very intense voice over here. And that intense voice went through a triple filter. The Zohar says that there was three different kinds of darkness. And that's why it says, Cheshech, Anon, Varafel. It doesn't say that here, but it's written elsewhere. And he says the voice came from the innermost amongst them. But again, it's describing these self-screening. It's a metaphor, it's not literal. God's voice goes through a smoke. It's a metaphor, the metaphor of a screen. Like a diffuser. The light is very intense. You look at the light, you get blinded by the light. How are you going to be able to see? The answer is through one screen, another screen, one glass, another dark glass. The point is that the screening enables some kind of recipients. Otherwise, you can't get anything. In order to receive, in order to be a recipient, you need to have a diminished amount of intensity. Because if the full intensity expresses itself, it simply overwhelms.
Did that also happen when Moshe went up on Har Sinai for the very first time before?
Did it happen to Moshe Rabbeinu himself?
Yeah.
No, because Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu.
I know, but this was before, at the onset of his shlichut, he didn't do anything
well,
for the
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, he didn't step out of a storybook and become Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. He's been conversing with God for about a year now.
No. I'm talking about the very first time he encountered, not
the very first time he encountered, what does it say?
He says, right?
It doesn't say the voice of God. Like, not this voice, right? But it says, well, what did Moshe do?
He took off his shoes.
He covered his face. Ki yare milahavet. He was afraid to look.
Right.
Ah.
Okay.
Now, you think Moshe Rabbeinu was an ordinary person when he saw the burning bush?
He's an extraordinary person, but he's not Moshe Rabbeinu that exists at Har Sinai.
He's Moshe Rabbeinu who continued to develop and grow over 40 years, but he's still Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu could hear the voice of God. Like any prophet, a prophet can hear the voice of God. A regular person hear the voice of God and just lose it. There's a reason God doesn't prophesy to us. We're just simply not capable of handling it.
The prophecy always comes in a dream, like a
column. First of all, prophecy comes in a dream for all prophets but Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hear the voice of God in a conscious state.
Correct.
That's how Moshe Rabbeinu, Rambam says in the laws of Yisrael, it was different than all the other prophets.
Right.
So it's not so simple. And even so, that dreamlike state is not simple. It says that when the Nevi'im would have this transmission of prophecy, it would totally overwhelm them. Some of them appeared as lunatics. One disrobed, another collapsed. It was not a simple experience. You didn't remain who you were during a prophecy or after a prophecy. Mm-hmm. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of prophets, could handle a prophecy, but the rest of us were totally overwhelmed. So you'll ask, what was the point? Why did God have to overwhelm us? And we have to die twice. And then we say, okay, God, you know what? Speak to Moshe. will listen in. Why? So the Rambam says the reason is very simple. If Moshe Rabbeinu does a miracle, and then he says, listen to me, God said X, Y, and Z, deep down in our hearts, we're always thinking twice. Is that really God? Is that a miracle? Maybe he's a wizard. Maybe he's David Copperfield. Maybe he's a Houdini. How do we know it's for real? So the only way to know it's for real is if we experience it. So what did God do? He gave us the experience. Until we said, enough! Can't handle it. But now when Moshe Rabbeinu said God spoke to me, we knew exactly what he was talking about. And this was the case for millions of Jews. You can't create a fact that involved millions of people if it's not true. It's impossible. And the fact that all the Jewish people heard this together on their own level, but they all heard this together, and then we could even eavesdrop on that and that day and hear God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, but didn't have the intensity of receiving it ourselves, all of this is how we know that Matan Torah is true. That's the story. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about over here. So this is the business of Har Sinai, and let's talk about the great voice now. A Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. Take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, V'lo Yosef. Kol Gadol, everybody knows that means a great voice. What does it mean, V'lo Yosef? What does it mean? What's Yosef? So the truth is that there are two interpretations, but two very different ways of learning this word, Le Yosef. One is the voice that did not continue on, the voice that was interrupted. And one is the voice that was unending. And if that's a paradox to you, you're not wrong. It is a paradox. But both are true. There's at once an unending voice and at once an interrupted voice. What does it mean? So Rashi says like this. The word Yosef could sometimes come from the word Hosafa. It could be a permutation of the word Hosafa. What does Hosafa mean? Addition.
Addition.
Addition. So there was this and nothing else. That's it. It was just this. And another way of understanding it is that it's not the idea of addition, meaning unending. It didn't change. It just continues to go exactly. It just doesn't grow. It doesn't change. It's unending. Another way of understanding it is the word Yosef comes from the Hebrew word Hafsaka. Hafsaka means to stop. So it was and stopped. So Rashi says, Mistargim Minon, Unculus renders it, V'loi Psak. The voice was uninterrupted. An unending voice, uninterrupted. What does that mean, an uninterrupted voice? Lefi, Shamidas Basav Adam, because the nature of human sound, or the way we understand sound or experience sound is, the Yachala Daber called Vadav B'Neshimachas. Any Yachala, a person cannot speak everything in one breath. So we have to allow our lungs to expand and fill with air, and then as we talk, we're exhaling. And then at some point, you have to allow your lungs to fill with air again. And then your lungs fill with air again, and you keep talking. But you cannot just continue talking without drawing a breath. Voice, because of that, has inflection. That's the nature of voice as we know it. Verbal communication as we know it requires inflection, and it requires stopping. It doesn't. There's a cadence, but it does not continue uninterrupted. It rises and rests, there's a breath drawn, and then the voice is projected. So when it came to God, was not like this. For a person, there's a tzarech, there's a need lahafsik, there's a need to interrupt. And the reason is to allow one's lungs to expand. But midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the measure of God, ain't came. And therefore, lahaya poisik. So maybe in today's day and age, we could understand it a little bit. It was like a metallic voice. It didn't end. It maintained the exact same decibel. It did not change, an unchanging voice. And that's the meaning of uninterrupted. However, umishalehaya poisik, just as it wasn't interrupting, lehaya moisif, it wasn't adding either. It was an even voice, no inflection, didn't stop, and also didn't rise. Exactly the same. This is how it continued. Ki koylei chazak v'kayim lo'ilam. The strength of this voice was equal continuously. And it was a continuous voice. So from that perspective, this is an uninterrupted, continuous voice. That's the word, le pasak. Davar acher, another way of understanding the word, is le yosef. Le yosef means there was no hosafa, no addition. And that is to say, God never revealed himself in that way again. He spoke to individuals, but never spoke to a nation. There was never mass revelation. There was never millions of people, or even thousands of people, who heard the voice of God at once. That never happened again. So this was a voice, a one-time event. It happened, and that's it. So there's a paradox here. On one hand, this word Le'yosef means that it was unending, uninterrupted. On the other hand, this voice means, the meaning of Le'yosef is, it was a voice that ended and never picked up again. There was no continuity whatsoever. This was a one-time event and one time only. And that's even in a level of Pshutus or Mikra, we have both of these ways of understanding it. Now, with regard to Jewish people's frustration, if you will, or their inability to handle the voice of God and being overwhelmed by it, so here we have the Jewish people coming before Hashem in a very respectful way, before Moshe. Kol Rashi Shiftechem Zignechem. How were we? We let the elders go first, and we respectfully followed behind. When it came to Meraglim, however, we jostled and pushed our way to the front. It was not respectful. Now, if you remember, in last week's Torah portion, Rashi mentions, Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'tikvin alai kulchem, you all came in front of me. When they came for the Meraglim, they came pushing each other. It was not in a respectful way. And Moshe Rabbeinu mentions this pasuk in Parshas Veschana. The question is, why bother mentioning it? So the Kli Yarkor says something amazing. He says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw how the Jewish people approached him, when the voice of God was overwhelming, he was very impressed by the decorum. A whole nation that somehow knows how to show respect. People were frustrated. There was angst. There was anxiety. But nonetheless, very respectful. The elders went first. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, when you didn't want to go so fast to the land of Israel, you wanted to send scouts, all of a sudden, there was yelling and screaming, was a mob. So what happened there? What happened to those respectful people? And that's part of the rebuke, Kli Yarkor says. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I thought you were respectful people. And therefore, there wasn't a mob. Therefore, you let the elders to go first. Now I see, when it comes to words of Torah, I say, okay, let the elders go. When it comes to going to the land, when it comes to material goodness, all of a sudden you're pushing in the front. In other words, it wasn't so respectful. The people were simply frightened. They were overwhelmed here. So they let the elders go first. And this is part of the rebuke. This is not a good thing. In fact, it says, if you look here inside the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu responds, he says, Va'at tedaber. That's very strange. What does it mean, Va'at tedaber? It's a Va'ata. We said, Va'at alam namas, why should we do? What should happen? Krav ata, you should go. Ushmas kol Hashem. In verse 24, va'at tadaber eleinu, and then you'll speak to us. So at is a feminine tense, and ata is masculine, but they're speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's a man. So why did he use a feminine tense? So Rashi says, va'at tadaber means that you weaken me. Just like when you go golfing, it says the long drive. The men golf have to golf from this long drive, and the women have a different long drive. Why? Because the way Hashem created male and female bodies, in a normal sense, is that males have more brute strength, more physical strength. And on the golf course, it's okay. They didn't yet make a protest against that. Why aren't treated exactly the same? It's just different. It's a matter of fact. It's a biological difference. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, he uses the female tense here. He says, he tashed him as keichi. You weakened me. I suddenly felt this massive reduction of strength. Shenitzta'arti aleichem. Because I felt so much pain. I was bothered so deeply by this. V'refisem es yodai, and you weakened my hands. Why? Ki ra'isi she'enchem charedim. Because I saw you're not charedi. I saw you're not driven. You're not trembling. You're not shaking. You're not coming close to God out of love. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'chileya yayofa lochem, would it not be nicer for you l'lumot teder v'piagvura, to learn teder from the mouth of the might v'lumot mimeni? Why were you so ready to forego this? You had the opportunity to hear God's voice in an unadulterated way, directly. Instead, you want to hear me? This is a real leader. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, oh, great, sure, I'll step in. Thanks for the job. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't believe this. You should want this. No matter how much pain it's going to be, no matter how difficult it's going to be. But we didn't want that. We said, we're not enough challenge. We're not looking for a hard time. I said, it was nice, we got it, but that's all. From now on, let Moshe Rabbeinu speak to Hashem, and that'll be good enough. So this is the story of Har Sinai, or at least the events that unfolded with the great uninterrupted voice that never appeared again. So now I'm going to give you a Gentile perspective on this and a Jewish perspective on this. Two important lessons on the paradoxical voice of Sinai that was uninterrupted, yet somehow seemed to end and never repeat itself. So let's turn to page Samach in the viewer book. And we're going to go through two simanim today. We go through Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Each one of these teachings is based on a medrash. The first teaching, the bottom half of page Samach, is based on a medrash on Shmos Rabba in page 28. And the medrash says like this. What does it mean, koil gadol? So the medrash says, koil echad, one voice, nechalak l'zayin koilis. One voice actually became seven voices. And those seven voices further subdivided by 10, v'hei nechalakim, and so they in the end divided into ayin lashon, 70 different languages. In other words, God spoke to the Jewish people. What language did he speak in? Tell me Hebrew. Medrash says yes. It started in Hebrew, but it went through the filter. And this one language ended up dividing into seven subdivisions of language and eventually divided into 70 languages. So God ended up speaking and giving the Torah in 70 languages. All the spoken languages of the day. That was the proverbial number, the magic number 70. The numbers of the day are all mustered and marshaled and used as conventions through which Hashem's word is communicated. 70 languages. So the Rebbe says, okay, what's up with the 70 languages? Who was the Torah given to? It's given to the Jewish people. What language did they speak? Hebrew. They spoke Hebrew. So why do you have to speak 70 languages for? Mm-hmm. Why did this become a multinational event? Why did this become something which seems to have a broad application? So the Rebbe says, Yesh Levayer, we could perhaps explain Mashmos, the deeper meaning of Chalukas HaKel Shomatan Teira, of this miraculous division of the voice at Har Sinai, the Kel Gadol, the greatest voice of all time, one voice that became 70 voices, one language that divided into every spoken language of the day, L'Shivim Lashon. Yiduim Divri HaRambam, this known words of the Rambam, Maimonides, in his book of Mishnah Torah, which is found in the 8th chapter, in the 11th Halacha, which speaks about the world, not about the Jewish people, but about all of humanity. The Sheva Mitzvahs, the seven Mitzvahs, which are proverbially addressed to B'nai Noach, to all of humanity, that is the legal terminology for humanity. There's B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Noach. All of humanity hails from Noach, so the world, the Gentiles are called Noach's children, and the Jewish people are referred to as B'nai Yisrael or Yaakov's children. So the Rambam says something very interesting. Kol HaMakabel Sheva Mitzvahs. Anybody, any human being who accepts upon himself to fulfill these seven mitzvahs, v'nizhar la'asaisan, he takes pains, he's very careful to fulfill them, hareze mechasidei umas ha'olam, that person is considered one of the chasidim of the world. A chasid means a person who's pious. A chasid is a person who goes beyond the call of duty. That person's a chasid, a non-Jewish chasid. V'yesh le'chelek la'olam haba. Rambam says, invoking halachic parlance, he has a portion in the world to come. Just like that. So other faith systems will tell you that if you don't believe our faith system, you're going to hell. That's it. There's only one door. You have to believe what we believe, or you go to hell. And we say, all right, that's your problem, not ours. We believe all of humanity can go to heaven. How do you go to heaven? Well, you have to earn it. Okay, if you do what Hashem wants, you go to heaven. You don't have to be Jewish to go to heaven. Everybody can go to Elohim Haba. But what do you have to do in order to get there? Vahu, Rambam says, this is with a proviso. Not only are you going to perform the Sheva Mitzvahs or live by their credo, but Vahu Shi Kabbalism, this is only the case if you accept them, the Yasa Oison, and you do them, Mipnei Shetziva Bahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bateira, because God commanded us to do that in His Torah. You get that? The non-Jewish world has to do the mitzvahs because God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. So if somebody's doing all the right things, but not for the right reason. Not because God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, not because there was an event at Sinai, but because it makes sense to him. Says Rambam, the focus has to be, V'hidiyanu ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu, we were informed through Moses, Shebnei Noach mikoydim nitzdavu behen. Moshe Rabbeinu told us that the Bnei Noach got this mitzvah early on. However, avalim asoan, mipnei hechra adas, if you do it because it sounds right to you, sounds logical, sounds appropriate, say, this is good. I can relate to this. I'll do that. Ein ze ger toshov. Rambam says, you're not a resident alien of Israel. Eini mechassidik u'masoilom. You're not one of the pious of the nations. Eloi mechachameim. You're not even one of their wise people. So do the right thing, but not for the right reason. You're not going to heaven so fast. In fact, Rambam says, you're not going at all. You have to do it because God gave us a Torah. In other words, there's a distinctly non-Jewish element of Matan Torah to the Jewish people. Namely, that the seven laws which were given ultimately to Adam Arishon, to Adam and Chava. In other words, initially there were six and later they become seven because initially we're not allowed to consume meat. Although there's a discussion in Rishon if roadkill can be eaten, but they weren't allowed to kill animals. And according to many opinions, they couldn't eat meat, period. And that was only changed in the time of Noah. So it's called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach because all of humanity is called B'nei Noach. We know God gave this to humanity initially and he held them culpable for it. And the proof is the great flood. What would be the logic of God punishing people without ever telling them what he expected of them? It makes no sense. Who would do that? Would you punish your children or grandchildren without telling them what you expected of them? How could God make a flood and destroy all of humanity if he never told them what he wanted? He had to have told them what he wanted. So initially it was relevant, binding, meaningful, because God gave it to Adam and Eve. But now Rambam says, after Matan Torah, do you know why Gentiles are required to keep seven Noahide laws or live a moral and purposeful righteous life? Because Hashem gave us a Torah at Har Sinai. Because he told us through Moshe Rabbeinu what happened prior. So in other words, this business of Matan Torah, the Torah being given to the Jewish people, has a very profound effect on the non-Jewish world. The Yesh Lemer that ever says, it's totally and eminently reasonable to suggest, Shalakach Reimzeis Ha'uvda Shakel Gado Shavamatan Teira Nechlak L'Shivim Lashon. That's why the great voice of Har Sinai had to divide into 70 languages. L'lam Deinu, this teaches us, Shigam Oysan Mitzvahs Ham Yuodeis L'Umei Sa'ilam. The mitzvahs which are directed towards all of humanity. What language does all of humanity speak? A cacophony of languages. Shivim Lashon, the proverbial 70 languages. Mekoiran, the origin of those Sheva mitzvahs, which are ultimately connected to Shivim Lashon, the source of it is Matan Torah. And therefore, V'yesh L'kaimon B'glal Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should fulfill this because God said it. Not because it sounds right or is reasonable or logical. In other words, this is the idea of Kol Gadol. Another element of the Kol Gadol is not just the idea of whether the voice ended or didn't end, but the idea of Kol Gadol was the voice permeates all of society, or all societies, all anthropologies, all civilizations, all of humanity. All of that's permeated by this great voice, the Kol Gadol, which includes everybody.
Did all of humanity hear Matan Torah?
No, all of humanity didn't hear Matan Torah, although much of humanity was aware of Matan Torah. It says they came running to Yisrael. They said, what's going on? Is there going to be another flood? They heard a shakedown, but they don't know what it was. And Yisrael said, relax, Hashem Oizlam Eitin.
What was it? Like, just like you, when you said what exactly, parting the sea, like there was actual parting of waters at the same time?
Yeah.
Is there anything going on throughout the world that made them aware
there
of that?
There was, I don't know exactly what it was. I don't remember, actually. there was some kind of event. They knew something was going on. Mm-hmm. They heard the lightning. They heard the thunder. They knew that something major was going on in the world. That's when they came running to Yisro as their spiritual leader. Said, what do you do now? And he said, relax. Actually, it wasn't Yisro. It was Bilam. They went to Bilam. And they said, Bilam, what's going on now? And Bilam said, relax, it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good. God's giving Torah to the Jewish people. Now we're out of time, But the next piece I wanted to learn.
You sure you talks didn't say, about give the, me some money first, then I'll tell you what's going on. Isn't that Bilam's character?
Yeah, yeah. Bilam actually wanted the first the money, but first he had to establish credentials being the go-to guy. So here he establishes credentials later.
All right.
The other teaching from the Rebbe here, which we're out of time, is about this idea of what's the unending voice. The voice ends. What's the unending voice? God never showed himself again, but the unending voice in Medrash says that all the future prophets who received transmission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu received it with the same voice. Why? Because this uninterrupted voice, this continuing voice, is to tell you that ultimately all of the Torah goes back to the same source. All the way down to the Ruach HaKodesh, to the Holy Spirit that resided on the Chachamim and the sages who compiled later writings down to the Shulchan Aruch, ultimately, everything is one continuation of that voice of Sinai. So on one hand, it was a voice that stopped. It was only at Har Sinai that mass revelation was given. On the other hand, it was uninterrupted, meaning it continues, weaves its way through the prophets and through the ages, and through the sages, so that everybody should know that the Torah ultimately comes from Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the uniquely Jewish perspective on the Kel Gadol LeYosef, on the unending voice at Sinai. But LeYosef then never revealed itself again, because on an en masse, we never heard or saw that voice of God again, but through our prophets, we continue to receive His inspiration. And Emir Tzashem, when Mashiach will come, then we'll hear the great shofar, and then we'll hear that great voice again, and may it be speedily in our days.